Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Over the weekend, lots of chatter. Yes, we've known that the NHI is in play for many years, but what has changed post-election, and certainly as I indicated, the president is moving towards simply signing bills into action and into act, regardless of dissenting opinion, is that if the Bila bill is anything to go by, we may see something similar where the president chooses at his own discretion, if he doesn't see any lack of constitutionality to the bill, might just say, okay, well, I'm happy to talk about one or two. And indeed, he indicated last week at the NCOP, the National Council of Provinces, that I am happy to have discussions, but I don't want to hear problems. I only want to hear solutions. This is quite a difficult position to put market participants in, insofar as a large part of the act, or at least the bill, well, which will be an act, has been cobbled together in a slightly opaque way. We see that it's ANC policy. We get a sense of what the intention is and the intended outcome is, but the nuts and bolts of the NHI, the funding of it, what happens to medical practitioners, the latitude, for example, for charging for services, lots of that has not actually necessarily been finalized and crystallized. And so to sign an act into law without that kind of participation, and to Patrick's point, the large business Unity South Africa that has pushed back, with Cascavadio being quoted to say that, you know, you really, it's difficult for one to move ahead with flying blind. It I think represents possibly most critically to the businesses of, in particular, private practitioners, a great deal of headwinds. And in that light, we've invited Dr. Mvuyisi Mzukwa, chairperson of the South African Medical Association, to give us some perspective on the impact this is likely to have on medical practitioners and medical practice in general. Dr. Mzukwa, thank you so much for joining us this evening on Kaya Biz. How are you?
Good evening to you and to your listeners, and thanks for the opportunity. I'm doing well. I hope you're doing well too.
Thank you so much. I hope I have to be doing well, because very soon I won't be able to get medical attention. So I'm teasing. I'm not fear-mongering. But talk to us about your impression of the rhetoric coming from the president over the weekend, and the concerns, for example, that have been raised by BUSA about consultation. Do you feel the medical fraternity has been adequately consulted in order to see this promulgated?
No, we don't think we've been properly consulted. You'll recall that we've always been part of these developments, right from the white paper, the green paper, the white paper, and the bill itself. We even went to an extent of making oral presentations to Parliament. Obviously, we've been always pointing out issues that we think are going to make it difficult to have, universal access to healthcare. And all these things that we've pointed out, you know, to a large extent have been ignored. And hence, we, you know, obviously thinking that perhaps the only way we could be listened to is to take matters to the court of law, so that it forces the department and government to explain thoroughly on the points that we've identified.
This is a costly exercise. It's a time-consuming exercise. What prevents us from having had these discussions thoroughly? Is it what Patrick was alluding to, that perhaps, not that he's saying it is his view, but that many people had the view that this was pure electioneering, and now President Ramaphosa needs to kind of make good on what looked like a promise ahead of the polls?
Like we've always said, in no uncertain terms, we've always said that it has been used for that. I mean, how do you explain that the bill was signed 2 weeks before elections? And also the statements that have been made in public, in deceiving statements by Panyaza Lesufi and others, you know, regarding how the NHI works. Not to say after elections, you just pop up in any private facility and it would be attended to, which was proved to be a huge lie.
Yes.
So I think, you know, it was disappointing that, you know, people of this country are taken for granted like that by politicians. But, you know, the issue is we are serious about healthcare. I mean, you've seen the recent developments in the social media space by Tom London and others regarding the state of affairs. You know, it's not a joke, you know, when it comes to, you know, the crisis that we're facing in healthcare.
Dr. Mzukwa, if I may, I'm sorry to interrupt you. If I may add to that, to your point, Dr. Erin Motsoaledi just seen on TV a few minutes ago telling us that Chris Hani Baragwanath Hospital is, quote, unmanageable. You know, a whole Minister of Health saying that it's almost like a person throwing their hands in the air.
Yes, exactly. You know, this is, you're talking about, you know, whether this is implementable or not, the NHI. It's not just the medical profession that are saying that, business is saying that, but also other, you know, objective entities, you know, like ASAP, the Academy of Science of South Africa. They've just launched a consensus study where they were looking into the NHI and how, you know, how this can be implemented without making sure that there's ethical leadership and governance in place. So without that, we've always said to government, without ethical leadership and governance, because if you're looking at the healthcare system, like the minister always repeats it, he talks about the six pillars of a healthcare system. But when we talk about a reform, he just only concentrate on one, the financing aspect. Right. And we've been always asking questions. How are you from a healthcare system without attending to all the pillars of a healthcare system, like your ethical leadership and governance, issues of information systems, human resources for health, you know, infrastructure and all these things, you know, medicines and technology, service delivery. How are you going to implement these things? Because if we're talking about access, for example, in the rural areas, there are very few or none, no clinics at all. So how are those people going to benefit from the NHI? Because the NHI is a big medical aid that is not going to be building hospitals. Correct. It's not going to be employing. It's just going to be purchasing services from existing structures.
Correct. So I'm so glad that you said that. As a reminder for those who are listening and might have forgotten what some of the key changes are from the NHI, the idea is that it is a centralized national fund that purchases services, as Dr. Mzukwa says, from accredited public and private providers and medical practitioners. Presumably, it will be at a set price, which, you know, unfortunately kills competition. The other issue is that medical schemes will only be able to offer services that are not provided for by government and the NHI, and I don't believe that's been clarified either. Just to help me understand, because, you know, SAMA obviously does represent medical practitioners on the public and private side, exactly, you know, do you have a sense of how this differs massively from, for example, the prescribed minimum benefit that is constitutionally allowed for South Africans?
Well, like you know, on the medical aids side, we've got these PMBs, and whenever people are talking about medical aids and stuff like that, they tend to deceive the public and say that they get exhausted, then the people are dumped in the private in the public sector, which is not true, you know, because you continue receiving your chronic treatment, whether it's a retroviral disease like HIV or diabetes and stuff like that. That is never exhausted, and hospitalization is never exhausted. You know, people get there, they are hospitalized, even if they are day to day. The only thing that is your savings, your day to day. And that is not being said to the public. So, but in this case, in the case of the NHI, you must recall that the benefits have not been identified. So we cannot say, you know, with certainty what benefits will patients be receiving, because so far there is no, they've never been identified, you know, to say this will be covered by NHI, this will not be covered by NHI. So it's even difficult to talk about the PMBs when you don't have the benefit package.
Dr. Mzukwa, is there a country where this system has worked? You know, I've tried to look at some first world countries where universal health care is provided, both from my readings and from the experience either where I've visited or from people who live there. Usually Canada, the United Kingdom tend to be put up there. But actually for Canadians, many of them say, yeah, we all have equal access to the same bad service now. it's not really created a healthy competition, a competitive space. There's no incentive to do better for patients. There's a cap, in terms of the upside for a medical practitioner. I really do want to get the practitioner's perspective, not only from that, Dr. Mzukwa, but also in terms of current overheads for a private sector medical provider, insurances, premises, differentiation of service. How will that be affected, especially as compared to global examples?
Yeah, for example, if you look at universal health coverage in other areas, obviously they've got different forms. If you go to, for example, the Taiwan, you'll find that it's mixed. It's, the funding is both from private and the state. But also, if you go to the UK, where actually the system is crumbling, it was almost the same as we were trying to implement here in South Africa. But we can actually see that the system is not working now. No matter how you spin that, it's not working. There's lots of backlog and stuff like that. And in fact, those patients are coming to South Africa in the private sector to receive services or to purchase services in South Africa from the UK. And then right. you go to Canada. You go to Canada, like you said. The issue of quality becomes an issue. Whether people have got access. Like we always say in South Africa, we all have access to healthcare. By the way, it's just correct. That the quality is compromised. Because of what the state of healthcare we have in South Africa. So in other places, but the good thing about these other places is that the management. Is much, much, much better than absolutely. In our country, ethical leadership and governance. So, which is our huge cry in the country to say, if you implement the NHI, on this foundation, it's going to crumble, it's going to fall because the pillars are not in place.
Yeah. And Dr. Mzukwa, I mean, my colleague, Sinenjabulo, just reminded me that Australia itself has Medicare. It's been it's been in place for 40 years in February this year. But again, that legal system, the smaller population, probably much less wealth inequality as well, really affords them the ability to get that done. As funding goes, Discovery, obviously, being the largest private healthcare provider, insurance provider, has kind of indicated some of the potential funding models because it's so unclear from the NHI as it stands. And they use 200 billion rand, for example, as an example, just for instance, saying to collect 200 billion rand, if you had to take it from VAT, we'd have to increase VAT from 15% to 21.5%. If you had to take that from personal income tax, every South African would have to have their taxes increased by 31%, a third. If you had to take it from payroll tax, collections would have to be 1,072 rand per employee per month. None of this changes the functioning of a hospital, overworked nurses, understaffed spaces, the inability for the government to place graduates in the right cities on time before the end of the year when they're about to graduate into their community service. That's not affected by money.
Exactly our point, that though we're worried about the affordability, but, we're saying even money that we had, is not used efficiently. But the problem, the biggest problem is that we've got poor planning. And even when we plan, we don't implement. Like, for example, if you look at the human resources for health policy, I think it's a 2030 strategy. It's just everything was done, compiled in 2020, but no implementation. proposals made by everybody, it was never implemented. Even today, there is no reliable electronic health records for patients. You still depend on the paper that can be stolen by anyone anytime. So those are the challenges that we're facing, that we come with these suggestions. We even have health summits, but you don't see any implementation of what we suggest.
Well, we look forward, I think, to the government actually proving budget they currently have before dipping into South African pockets. Dr. Mbuyisi Mzukwa, thank you so much. He's the chairperson of the South African Medical Association.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.